Need to open your Bibles to the book of James, James chapter number one. You know, there comes a time in all of our lives, and probably pretty often, when we just need some direction. We need some guidance. We need some help to figure out, should I or shouldn't I, or what should I do? It could be situations with our families, situations with our finances. It might be something that's arisen, or maybe you wonder if God's dealing with your heart, and you just have to know. You just need to know. I remember when I was the first semester of my junior year in high school, all the juniors had to meet with a guidance counselor. Man, I'll tell you what, you talk about a guy that got paid for doing nothing. We had to take aptitude tests, and from these tests, he was encouraging us to follow where our gifts mostly lie. Well, I come in, I sit down, and he looks at it, and he goes, "It's an unusual test." He said, "My suggestion is you get a job where you don't have to work with many people." He said, "It just doesn't appear you have a lot of people skills." Well, God knew different from him, and here I am. But you can't trust somebody who judges your future from an aptitude test. Sometimes we just need to know what to do. So if you have your Bibles open to James 1, stand with me, if you would, please. I'll begin in the very first verse. The scripture says, "James, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Well, that's different, isn't it? Get excited about temptation. Get excited about troubles. Why? Well, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Look up here, if you would, please. How many of you sometimes feel like you need a little wisdom to make a choice? Well, let me help you out. The Bible says if you need it, ask. Ask. Father, I ask you to bless the message tonight. I pray it be helpful. I pray, dear Lord, that you remind us of what we already know and then give us the courage and the faith to do what we ought. For we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know, temptations come from the devil. God doesn't tempt us. He may give us trials along the way, but he doesn't tempt us. Considering that all of my temptations come from the devil, I am excited because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And I always consider Job. You know, the Bible tells us that Job, probably the greatest, closest man to God of his generation. The Bible says there was a day when the sons of God appeared before the Lord, and then God said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Here, God is bragging to Satan about Job. And Satan says, "Well, sure. It's because you blessed him. He's got a wonderful family. He's rich." He said, "Let me at him. And we'll see if he's still such a good Christian." And God gave him permission. You know what I love about that story? If I'm tempted, God knows I can make it. You're not tempted above that. You're able, is what the scripture says. And so all of our temptations, when they come to us, they come from Satan, and God already knows that we have the ability to get through the temptation. They're designed to defeat us and to defile us and to distract us from the will of God and discourage us, keeping us from serving Him. But the truth is, they shouldn't bother us because God is in control. I'm going to say that again. It's Tuesday. Y'all are tired. You worked hard, and you're missing a great chance to get out early, okay? Our temptation shouldn't bother us because God is in control. Yeah, in fact, He tells us that we should count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. There's not only temptations. Verse 3 says there are going to be trials. The trying of your faith worketh patience. We're going to have trials. Our bodies are frail. Man, who would have thought that after a while they start to wear out? There comes a time when you can't run as fast as you used to run, and you can't jump as high as you used to jump, and you can't get out of a chair as easily as you got out of a chair. And it used to bother me in the old days when the chairs would get squeaky. Now I didn't even notice, because when I get out, it's, and it covers the squeaks. But our bodies get frail. Sometimes our trials come because we make foolish choices. Right. I remember years ago, I took a group of our teenagers up to Camp Kobiak. It's in northern Michigan for a winter retreat. And the snow was about waist deep, and man, we had a great time. We got all the stuff off the bus and put it in the cabins. And then we had a lot of snow activities. They had a hill. You could ride inner tubes down, but then you had to go up with the inner tubes. And I was involved in all of it. But what you don't realize is, even if it's freezing cold and you're exerting yourself, but if you dress warmly, you get hot and sweaty. And so, man, it's hot. And as soon as we finished with that, it was time for the meal. And so I went to the meal, and I took off my hat. In those days, I had hair, and my hair's all matted down from being sweaty and everything. But who cares? It's snow camp, right? And so we ate our meal, and then we had to get everything situated in the cabins, and it's time for the service. And we go into the service, and I don't remember anything about the service except the preacher went forever. You know, I love good preaching. I don't mind long preaching, but you know, here a lot of people have been on a bus for 5 hours to get to camp. They've been involved in activities. 2 hours is too long, bud. Shut her down. Shut her down. And so it's late. We got to get all the kids to bed. I made sure everybody's in the right cabin with their leaders and everything. And I thought to myself, man, I feel terrible. I'm all sweaty. I need to get a shower. Well, the shower facilities were about 100 yards away from the cabins. And I knew I had to get a shower at some time that there were no other guys in there. Because it's snow camp. They'll mess with your clothes. They'll steal your clothes. You'll go into the shower fully dressed, and after your shower, you could get arrested. So I thought, well, I either go to the showers tonight, but it's about midnight by then, or I can get up early before anybody's there. I said, I'll do that. The thing about kids at camp, if you have to get up at 7 o'clock, the boys will get up at 5 to 7. The girls get up at 4 o'clock so they can be ready by 7. And so I said, well, I'll go down about 6:30, and I'll get my shower before any guys are there. So I go down, and I'm showering. I think I turn the water on, and it's ice cold. It's below zero outside, but there's no hot water. I mean, it's You expected ice cubes to come out of the shower head. And it is so cold. I thought, man, if I get in there, I'm going to get hypothermia. So I just, with my wash rag, reached in and washed up, you know. And then I thought, well, I got to wash my hair. I'll do it in the sink. And so I put all my clothes back on, and I go over to the sink, and I got my hair all wet, and I shampooed it up. The faucet is shaped like this, you know, like a candy cane. And I had to rinse the shampoo out of my head. I put my head under the faucet. Feel on your head right here. There's a little bump, right? I went past that bump, and I got stuck. If I tried to pull my head out, the faucet is jamming into the back of my head. I could turn it a little this way. I could turn it a little this way. I could go forward, but I couldn't go back. Well, I'm fairly intelligent, so I turned the water off to keep me from drowning, but I'm stuck. About that time, one of the guys comes in. He goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" "Washing my hair." "It looks like you got your head stuck." "I'm not stuck." "Okay, pull it out." By now, there's like six teenage boys who've gathered around. Thank the Lord it's before cell phones with cameras. Yeah, yeah. He goes, "Well, then just pull your head out." And I said, "I will. When I'm done." Well, you know, it dawned on me, there is nothing I can do. Because one thing about teenagers, they'll watch, but they won't help. And they're enjoying this. And so all I could do is go, rip. And the faucet caught on the back of my head and just peeled a strip. It looked like a fruit roll-up. Whoa, I'm telling you, it hurt so bad. You say, how in the world do you get your head stuck under a sink? You make a dumb choice. We oftentimes make foolish choices, and they cause great concerns to us. Well, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, I did that day. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. A couple of things I want you to know. First of all, it says, if you lack wisdom, ask, and it shall be given liberally, lots and lots of wisdom. And God won't upbraid you. He won't say, well, that's a foolish request. That's silly. You don't need that. If we ask for wisdom, God will give it to us. You ever have situations that you just don't know what to do? You know the trouble with us? Most of us want to figure things out ourselves. You know, we don't need a lot of help. I've been married 46 years, and I've tried to explain, Karen, I know how to drive. But there's just something that compels her to help me. Now, she'll do it sweetly. She'll say, do you know how fast you're going? No. Man, if I could find that speedometer somewhere. Or I love this one. There's a car next to you on a 4-lane road. How did that happen? But most of us, we don't appreciate help. I can tell you, I've hit a nerve, right? Well, I'm kind of thankful, because if anything ever happens to me, she can support herself as a driver's ed instructor. But God says, all right, we're back to the Bible now. So. You're not supposed to be happy when we're dealing with the Bible. God says, if you need some help, ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, you know, we're thinking about maybe moving. Have you talked to God about it? Well, not yet. I mean, it's pretty obvious. No, if you lack wisdom, ask. Boy, my children, I'm concerned. They seem to be a little bit rebellious and not as respectful of authority. I don't know what to do. God says, ask. Or you could go to the library and get 57 books on how to raise kids, and none of them will help you. You can ask of God.
Amen.
You know, I wonder if I should get involved in the bus ministry. I don't have a lot of free time, and it takes time. I wonder if I should. Ask. Ask. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. And I think maybe that might be the one God wants me to marry. I'm not sure. What should I do? Ask. If you lack wisdom, ask. Well, you know, sometimes I feel like maybe God's dealing with my heart about ministry. But to stand up in front of people, I don't know if I could ever preach. Did I ever tell you about my first sermon? Somebody, I'm driving back to college. Some guy says, I stopped in on a Sunday morning because I was too late going. And the guy says, I met him at the door. He goes, you a preacher? I said, no, sir, I'm training to be one, but I'm not a preacher yet. He goes, okay, I'll sit down. He gets up. They have the song service. It's in Tallapoosa, Georgia, so you can imagine. He gets up and he goes, folks, we are in for a blessing this morning. God sent us a preacher. He said, son, I don't even know your name. Come on up here and tell us what God laid on your heart. And I'm thinking, God, what have you laid on my heart? Last morning, I read The Prodigal Son, so I just read the story. I said, there was a man who had two sons. I said, some of you men have sons. Raise them for God. And one said to his father, give me the portion of my inheritance. I said, you make sure you leave a godly heritage for your... And that's my whole sermon. Afterwards, the lady came up and shook my hand. She goes, are you sure God called you to preach? Man, it was terrible. It was horrible. But if you're wondering, does God want me in ministry? Is this something that the Lord would have me to do? I just don't know what to do. Ask. Ask. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 are just incredible verses. If you ever got or bought a graduation card, it has Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But I love these verses because here's what it says. It says, I forgot what it said, but it's good. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Let's stop there. Okay, three things we're supposed to do. Trust in God with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. That means we don't try to figure it out. In all our ways acknowledge him. We are to trust him and to use his wisdom, not ours, and to acknowledge him. And then the Bible says, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Amen. You don't have to figure it out. God will tell you what to do. God will show you what to do. When I was in college, I knew that I wanted to learn how to preach so I could tell people how to get saved. But I didn't know anything about preaching, and 3/4 of the guys that came and preached in chapel, they didn't know much about it either. And so I'm trying to learn. But I thought, I just need practice. And so I went to a couple of different nursing homes, and I said, would y'all mind if I had a service? Two different nursing homes every Sunday afternoon. I had a theory. If I could keep those people awake for a few minutes, I'd probably be all right with folks that weren't in a nursing home. And so I lead the singing. Oh my, it was horrible. I am not musical at all. We'd be going on family vacation and singing in the car, and Jeremiah, our son, would say, Dad, would you stop? You're messing me up. So I'm going to mess you up, boy. Our choir director, first church I was pastor and choir director, said, we'd love to have some folks in the choir. And I said, I can sing. No, we don't need them that bad. It's brutal. It's been that way my whole life. In third grade, we had music class. The music teacher said to me, just move your lips. Who does that to a child? But at the nursing home, I would lead the singing. It was horrible. One lady says, can you sing on a hill far away? I didn't know if she was making a request for a song or... But anyway, and then I would preach. I would preach. If somebody came to chapel and they preached a good sermon, I'd take notes, and then I'd preach at the nursing home. And the next nursing home, I'd preach another sermon because I wanted to learn how to preach. And then when I graduated, I didn't know what God had for me. I knew that I wasn't yet ready to pastor. I knew that I had to get involved in a good ministry where I could learn from a godly pastor. And so I just began to pray. I didn't want to put my name out saying, hey, I'm available. Come get me. Nobody's going to come get me anyway. So I just began to pray. But I had to get a job. So I went to this construction company, and I met the foreman. I said, are you hiring? He goes, it all depends. What can you do? I said, well, I could do about anything, but here's the job I want. I want the job everybody hates. I want a job nobody else will do. I want a job that people will quit after a week or two. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, well, let me explain. I'm a preacher, and God's going to open the door for me to preach, and I want a job that I hate so bad it'll be easy to quit when God opens that door. He said, I got the perfect job for you. They were building an apartment complex, 127 buildings. And in between each of the buildings, they had to put a breezeway of concrete. He says, before we can lay the concrete, we have to put down a foundation of gravel. He said, I'll have the front end loader come, and they'll dump the gravel. You'll have a wheelbarrow and a shovel. You fill the wheelbarrow, dump it in the breezeway, fill it again, dump it in the breezeway until it's level. The breezeways were at least from the back door to the platform. And so all day long, I'm shoveling gravel. About an hour into this job, I'm thinking, man, he's right. I do hate this. And I'm shoveling gravel. But all the time, I'm praying, God, I want to serve you. Open the door. Open the door. Man, I had blisters on my hands and then calluses on my hand. Every morning I'd get up, I'd drive to the job site, and I'd shovel gravel. I'd shovel gravel. 8 hours a day, I'd shovel gravel. I did that for almost a year. And I saw in the Sword of the Lord, there was going to be a pastor school in Hammond, Indiana. Well, I thought, man, if God wants me to be a pastor, I ought to go to this school to learn how to do it. And so I asked my boss, I said, can I take a week off? I need to go to school. Sure. He says, gravel will be here when you get back. And so I went up to First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I'd heard of Brother Hiles before, but I never knew anything about the church. I got there a little late for the Monday evening service. I walked in, and there's like 5,000 people in there. I thought, whoa, I was all by myself. Well, I like to sit down front because I like to see the expression on people's faces when they preach and see if any spit comes out. And so I came down, I came to the second row, and a fellow sitting there, and I said, is it okay? You got room here for one more guy? I said, sure. He scooted over, and I said, my name's Hal Hightower. And he said, my name's R.B. Willette. And I shook hands with Brother Willette, and we listened to the service, and afterwards, he said, well, where are you from? And I said, well, right now, I'm working here shoveling gravel. He goes, why? I said, well, I'm waiting for God to open the door. He said, well, we're starting a Christian school. Would you be interested in teaching? And I said, no. I said, I didn't like school when I had to go. I didn't like it in college, and I don't think I would like it working for you. He says, we'll pray about it. He says, we need somebody to teach Bible to the junior and senior high. And he said, in our church, you could learn all kinds of things. It'd be helpful to you. He said, pray about it for a week. So I went back to my job. Lord, is this your will? Is this your will? I didn't lay out a fleece. I just asked. The next day, it poured rain and it turned to sleet, and I'm shoveling gravel. And I said, I bet that school has a roof. And I called him at the end of the week. I said, I think maybe God would have me to do that. And so in September, I drove up to First Baptist Church of Bridgeport and went to work in the Christian school. I never did like school, but I got to be under his ministry. Got involved in the bus ministry. Got to learn everything practically that I didn't even know that I needed to know. Even to this day, Brother Willette is my pastor. He's my mentor. I could have ended up anywhere. I didn't know anything. But God said, if you lack wisdom, ask. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Here's what I want to focus on, folks. We are afraid to ask. Some of us don't even want to ask for prayer requests. We got a burden on our heart. We don't want to ask others to pray for us. It's a pride problem. But God says if you need some help, just ask. Because he promises to give to all men liberally. And he won't criticize. He won't make fun. He won't complain. He's just waiting to help us. And then when God opens the door, I learned this in my ministry. A lot of times we pray, God, open a door for me. That's never worked for me. I say, God, I need to know what to do. And God opens the door, and I pray like this. I say, Lord, if you don't want me to do this, shut the door. If you don't want me to do this, shut the door. Multiple times God's closed the door. But if the door's open, I'm going until he shuts it. I'm going till he shuts it. Don't wait for some thunderbolt from heaven. Don't wait for an earthquake. Remember Elijah? God wasn't in the mighty wind, and God wasn't in the earthquake. God was in the still, small voice. If any of you lack wisdom, ask. Just ask. I would be amazed if not every family represented in this room, if you didn't have a situation where there's a decision that you need to make, there's a situation that you're just not sure, what should I do? God says, if you lack wisdom, ask. Just ask. You know, not even stipulations on that. Just ask. Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God. I thank you for the promise that you'll give us the wisdom that we need. Lord, I pray. I don't know the hearts. I don't know the situations. But I do know that Christian people often have heavy burdens. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight you'd give us the humility to simply admit that we need help. And then, God, give us the courage to ask and the devotion to do what you tell us to do. With your eyes closed, I wonder tonight how many would say, Brother Hal, that sermon's a help to me. I needed to hear that. I'm facing a situation, might be with your family, might be with your future. I don't know what it is, but you know, because God made it clear to you, and you say, I need help from God, and that message was a help to me. I want you to pray for me that I would have the courage to ask and then to obey God. Would you raise your hand, hold it up high? I needed to hear that. I'm facing some choices tonight. God bless you. All over the room. All over the room. You can put your hands down. And folks, let me say this. If you're not in that situation, you will be. It's coming. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each hand that was raised. God, I pray that you'd bless each family. I pray that the situations that are heavy on their hearts, you give them the wisdom, show them what they ought to do. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.